Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, many hours have been spent in the preparation of this. You and I alone know the hours that were spent in dealing and struggle with this lesson. Now that the moment has come, I understand to my soul that I need help. So I pray this morning wisdom for myself that I'll be able to get this across. And I pray wisdom for those who shall hear. May I speak this in such a way that's understandable, and may they hear not only with ear but with their heart, and may they understand. So meet with us this morning. Bless us in our efforts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many who tell us that the Bible is too old, that the Bible is too long, that it's too difficult for any of us to really understand, and it's too boring. Yet, amazingly, according to Gideon's International website, the Gideon organization alone distributes some 1 million Bibles a week. That's 99 Bibles a minute. That doesn't count all of the other organizations worldwide that distribute Bibles for free. That does not count all of the retail stores throughout all of the world who sell Bibles. That does not count all of the churches and all of the missions and missionaries that also give Bibles away. Listen, everybody owns a copy of the Bible. But brethren, simply owning a copy of the Bible is not sufficient. We must come to learn to understand what is in the Bible and then live by what we know it teaches us. So this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, the Bible by numbers. And I'm going to present to you 7 numbers right in a row that all relate back to the Bible. And if you can just get a little grip on these 7 things that all relate to the Bible, it will help you to get a better grasp of the Bible as a whole. You ready? All right. Here is the Bible by numbers. First, the Bible has 1 theme. One theme. And the Bible makes very clear what that one theme is. The single theme of the Bible is the salvation of man through the sacrifice of Christ to God's glory. That's it. That's it. The theme of the Bible is the salvation of you and I, humankind, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross to the glory of Almighty God. That is the single theme of the Bible. Brethren, now listen. The theme of the Bible The Old Testament, every bit of it, is about and has to do with the coming of the Savior into the world. The New Testament, every bit of it, has to do with the one who had been promised a Savior in the Old Testament, that Savior has come. He has lived a third of a century. He taught and he set forth a plan of salvation by means of his death. Please understand that the Bible is not a mishmash of different books that have absolutely no connection with each other. The Bible is one book. It is made up of 66 units. But each and every one of those units have within them a thread of unity that can only be described as miraculous. The Bible has one theme. Next, the Bible has two major divisions. Two major divisions. Those divisions are the Old Testament and the New Testament. They are also called covenants. A testament or a covenant is an agreement. It is a contract. The first major division of the Bible is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is composed of 39 books. Within those 39 books, there consists 929 chapters. The Old Testament runs... The Old Testament runs, you do not want me to lose this. We'll never go home if I lose this. The Old Testament begins in the book of Genesis and ends in the book of Malachi. The Old Testament is a testament or a covenant between God and the ancient nation of Israel. And the Old Testament included no Gentiles at all. Now, Jesus himself divided the Old Testament into three parts. In Luke chapter 24 and in verse 44, Jesus said that the Old Testament was the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. But to make it easier for us to understand, we normally divide the Old Testament into four parts. The first five books of the Old Testament we call the law. The next 12 books of the Old Testament, starting with the book after Deuteronomy, the next 12 books of the Old Testament are the books of history. Those 12 books trace the entire history of the nation of Israel in their relationship with God. The next 5 books, after those 12 books of history, are the books of wisdom literature or poetry. Finally, the last 17 books of the Old Testament are the books of the prophets. Please understand that in his ministry, Jesus himself quoted from 22 of those 39 books of the Old Testament. Now, here's the question that is asked, and it's a normal question. If the Old Testament was an agreement between God and the nation of Israel, then what value does the Old Testament have for us today? Brethren, the Old Testament has great value today. The Old Testament answers the most basic question in all of life. Where did we all come from? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The value of the Old Testament is that the Old Testament presents to us principles of God that are eternal. One of those principles throughout all of God's dealing with man is that God always rewards faithfulness. God always rewards man's obedience, and God always punishes man's rebellion. Another value of the Old Testament are all of the prophecies, hundreds of them, that brings forth concerning the coming of the Messiah. So the first major division of the Bible is the Old Testament. The second major division of the Bible is the New Testament. The New Testament is made up of 27 books. Those 27 books consist of 260 chapters. The New Testament begins in Matthew and it runs through the book of Revelation. Now, whereas the Old Testament was an agreement between God and the nation of Israel that included no Gentiles, the New Testament is an agreement, a contract, a covenant between God and all of mankind, whether you are Jew or Gentile. The value of the New Testament is that it sets forth, first of all, the life of Jesus Christ. It sets forth the life of Christ in order to produce faith in our hearts. The next book is the book of Acts. The book of Acts teaches us how it is that we become Christians. The next 21 books are the letters of the New Testament. The letters warn us against the great danger of false teaching and false doctrine. Those letters also teach us how it is that we are able to grow, or how we are able to mature in Christ Jesus. Now here's the Bible. The Bible is one theme. The Bible has two major divisions. Next. The Bible has three periods of history. These periods of history are also called dispensations. There are three of them. The first dispensation of Bible history is what is called the patriarchal period. The patriarchal period lasted from Genesis chapter 1 through Exodus chapter 19. The patriarchal period is when God was dealing with the heads of the family. A patriarch is the head of a family. The patriarchal period is when God was dealing with families. So God deals with Adam and Eve in the garden. God then deals with Abraham. God then deals with Isaac and with Jacob, and God deals with Joseph. Now hear this carefully. As God dealt with these men, there was being developed here a people through whom seed, or through whom their line, the Savior, was going to come. Did you hear that? So, the first period dispensation of Bible history is the patriarchal period. It ended in Exodus 19. The second dispensation or period of Bible history is the Mosaic Age. It begins in Exodus chapter 20 and it run through the cross of Jesus Christ. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai. He received the law of God in Exodus 20. At that point, the Jews were then separated from the Gentiles. And beginning there and running through the rest of the Old Testament and up until the time of the cross, what we're reading there is the development of the relationship between God and the nation of Israel. This is the relationship between God and a people whose seed, whose line was going to bring forth the Messiah. And through the Old Testament, you see in God's relationship with ancient Israel how it was that God protected them and how it was that God kept that line alive and available because of the Messiah who ultimately was going to come from them. You understand what I just said? The third period of Bible history is called the Christian Age. That Christian age started in Acts chapter 2 and will extend until Jesus Christ comes again. You understand that? Now, it is very important that we be familiar with these three periods of Bible history. It is important. The reason it is important is because if you do not understand these periods of history and how God differently dealt with His creation, here's what you do. You go over here and get a verse out. Then you come over here and you get a verse out. Then you come over here and you get another verse out and you're thinking how confusing that is. It's confusing because of how you've treated this. If you will understand the layout of these three periods of Bible history, then brethren, you can understand the great unity of the Scriptures. You with me? Stay. The Bible is one thing. The Bible is two major divisions. The Bible is three periods of history. Next, the Bible is four descriptions of the life of Christ. Four descriptions of the life of Christ. Now follow me carefully. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now hear this. These four men serve as four witnesses. These four witnesses are testifying to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. These men wrote their books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wrote their books in order to convince humankind that Jesus is the Christ. Christ is Messiah. Messiah is God's anointed. They wrote those four books to convince us that Jesus is God's anointed one. Now understand this. When these four men wrote these books, they wrote these four books from the point of view of telling us who Jesus was and not just writing down everything he did. Did you understand that? Their vantage point is to, in describing his life, was to explain to us this is who he is. They didn't try to write down everything that he did. Not what he did, but who he is. You understand? Now, back to the beginning, there's one theme. That theme is the salvation of man through the sacrifice of Christ to the glory of God. Because of that theme, it is absolutely essential that we read and we reread those four accounts of the life of Christ. Because it's those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four books are not only the focal point of the Bible, those four books are the focal point of all of human history. All of time past, all of time present, and all of time that will be in the future, its focal point took place outside the city of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, where Jesus Christ shed his blood and died so that all of us could get back in a right relationship with God, and all else in history stands at that cross. That's not too painful, is it? Watch this. The Bible is one theme. The Bible is two major divisions. The Bible is three periods of Bible history. The Bible is four accounts of the life of Christ. Next. The Bible has five steps to the plan of salvation. Five steps to the plan of salvation. Now, I want everybody who's a member of the church to hear this, and I want everybody who isn't a member of the church to hear this. People today, and even some of my brethren, are making light of the five steps of salvation. We are now being called the five steppers. Everything with these people. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom. Let me tell you about boom. Let me set forth the facts that the Bible presents. Okay? These are the facts that the Bible presents. Number one, we must hear. Why do we have to hear? Romans 10:17, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason we must hear what the Bible says is because our hearing and our examining the Bible is what creates faith. Is that plain enough? Then, after you hear, then you have to believe. Jesus said in John 8 and in verse 24, unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus said in John 8 and in verse 21, unless you believe I am He, you cannot come to where I am going. Is that plain enough? Then everyone is commanded to repent. In Acts 17 and in verse 30, Paul announced to the educated, the intellects from Athens, and there was a time when God winked at man's ignorance. But now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Is that plain enough? Then we are told that we must confess our faith. In Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. If you do not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before the Father is in heaven. Is that plain enough? Then there is baptism. When those people cried out on the day of Pentecost, what do? Peter said, repent, which we talked about. He said, then you are to be immersed in water in order to obtain the forgiveness of sin. Is that plain enough? Now watch this. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Are you listening? Are you listening? According to Miss Piscopink, who was my first grade teacher, this makes five. You got it? This makes five. What am I supposed to do? Say it isn't five? We're not really five steppers. Let's be three steppers. What is the Bible? What is the Bible? The Bible is one theme. The Bible is two major divisions. The Bible is three periods of history, Bible history. The Bible is four accounts of the life of Christ. The Bible is five steps of salvation. Next. There are six things that God hates. Six things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19 lists those things. Now here is my point. Are you going to hear my point? Here is my point. It matters how you live. It matters how you live. There is some behavior that God hates. There are some ways in which man conducts himself that God is not at all pleased with. It matters how you live. And when those of us who are Christians, listen, when we obey those five steps, when we become Christians, as Christians, we cannot continue to engage in activities that God hates. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world. That is, do not fashion yourself as a Christian the way the world has fashioned itself. But be transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The word separate there literally means to mark off boundaries. This is where the world is. This is how the world engages itself, but I'm going to mark off a boundary and I'm going to separate myself from the moral filth by not engaging in that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, that is risen in the waters of baptism to the new life. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seek the things which are above and not the things that are on the earth. Now watch, here's the Bible. Here's the Bible. The Bible is one theme, it's two major divisions, it's three periods of Bible history, it's four accounts of the life of Jesus Christ, it's five steps to salvation, six things that God hates, it matters how I live, and seven letters that were written to congregations in the New Testament. Don't miss this. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven letters that our Lord wrote through the hand of John the Apostle to seven congregations that existed in Asia Minor. When you read those seven letters carefully, and when you understand them, what you come to realize is that every single one of those seven congregations were held to exactly the same doctrinal standard. Jesus did not write them and say, now okay, you believe that doctrine, that's fine. And now you believe this doctrine, but now this doctrine is different from this one, but that's okay. They believe what they believe, and you believe what you believe, because everybody is right here. And he didn't go over here and say, well now, you know what? This is what you believe, and it's different from them, but it's okay. That's not what this says. That's not what this says. Every single one of them was held to the same doctrinal standards, and when their doctrine was wrong, Jesus said, I'm watching, clean this up. Clean this up. They were all held to the same doctrinal standard, and if you read those seven letters carefully, the other thing you find out about this, not one of them wore a denominational brand name. None of them. They were all held to the same doctrine, and not one of them carried a denominational name, because there's no such thing in the Bible as such. None. So,
if it didn't come from here, it didn't come from God. Now, you still with me? Do you love me because this is so tedious? Yeah. We're going to recap and finish, okay? Now here it is. You can get a grip. You can do this. You can do this. I hope I can do this. The Bible is one thing. Every bit of it is about the salvation of man through the sacrifice that Jesus made, and it was all done to the glory of God. That's what it's about. That's the theme. The Bible is made up of two major divisions. It's made up of God dealing with Israel, preparing and developing the seed, preparing and developing the people, preparing and developing a law that would get the world ready for the Christ. And the second division is that all that had been promised and prepared in the Old Testament is now made available in the New Testament, where now it's not just God and Israel, but it's God and all of us. There are three periods of Bible history. A time when God dealt with the patriarch of the family. Then there was the time of the law of Moses. And then there is the Christian dispensation. This age we're in right now has existed for some 2,000 years already and will continue to exist until the Lord comes again. The Bible is four accounts of the life of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They testify this is who He was. That's what this is all about. The Bible is five steps of salvation. You have to ask yourself, have I complied with them? The Bible is six things that God hates. I can't obey the five steps and then walk out that door and live like I've never heard of God. It's seven letters written to seven congregations who all were told this is the standard, get in line with it, and all of them followed Christ and no man. When you cease to follow Christ, you are then following man, and when you follow man, that road is not going to end well. This and we're over. Each of our days, time in that day is caught up in us looking at world news. And it's caught up in us catching up on sports. And it's caught up with us looking at politics. And it's caught up with us looking at local news. And it's caught up with us seeing who's doing what to whom in Hollywood and what's going on in entertainment. There is nothing wrong with any of that. But if I know more about Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, and the rest of that cast of characters, if I know more about that than I know about Peter, James, and John, then maybe I ought to give just a little pause about where my priorities are. I know you messed this up before you got down. Now listen, no. If I know more about a 3 defense in football than I know about the organization of the church, then maybe I ought to give pause to my priorities. There's nothing wrong with looking at politics. In fact, it's pretty entertaining right now. But there's nothing wrong with looking at politics. There's nothing wrong with looking at football. But listen, if I know more about everything under the sun than I know about this, maybe I ought to give pause and ask where my priorities are. Can you count to 7? Oh, y'all had Miss Piscopink too. You count to 7? Then you can kind of get a grasp on what the Bible is getting at us. This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to hear the Word of God because that'll create your faith. You need to believe what you've heard. You need to turn from your sins. You need to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've lost the way, if you're engaging in things that God hates, you need to clean it up. And you don't need to say you're going to clean it up. You need to leave here and clean it up. If you're here, you're struggling with life. If you're here, we can pray for you. Let it be known right now as together we stand and sing, you come.